Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'd like to welcome everyone here this evening on this beautiful, beautiful day. It was a little bit of a slick morning, but it's warmed up throughout the day. It's warmer now than it was this morning, I think. Yeah. So praise God. The ice has melted. The roads aren't hazardous. We are here in the house of the Lord, worshiping Him and praising His holy name. And I'd like to thank you also for joining this evening's Bible study. Thank you very much. It means something to us. It means something to me when, you know, we put time into a study, into the Word of the Lord, and people hear it. That's all I ever wish, is just for them to hear the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit takes over from there. All right? I'm not going to drag anybody to church. I'm not going to be, what the pastor used to say, "You stinking sinner." No. He was elaborating on other people. The church down the street, that's right. We're not going to be like the church down the street. No. But nonetheless, thank you so much for participating and tuning in and taking notes. I see a lot of people write stuff down. When we put up a scripture on the wall, something that I say, they write it down. So, praise God. That means something. But ultimately, my wish is for the Holy Spirit to speak to you directly. My wish is always for you to receive enlightenment from the Lord. This is what we want. To glorify God, to come closer to Him, to know His perfect will. Praise the Lord God Almighty. And I have a brief Bible study here for us this evening. And let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer right away. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. Lord, we exalt Your holy name. Once again, Lord, we thank You for this beautiful day You have given us. Thank You so much, Lord, for Your many blessings in our lives. And Lord, this evening, as we partake in Your word, I pray, Lord, that it could come to life, that it could have significant meaning, Lord, for all of the hearers. Your name, Lord, and Your name alone be glorified this evening. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I decided to call this evening's Bible study The Suitable Sacrifice. And what exactly do I mean by that? I want to bring something to your attention right now, a specific verse that caught my attention and it meant a lot to me. And I think that for you as well, for those of us who spend time in the presence of God, well, before I get into all of that, let me just go ahead and show you this verse. I'm speaking about Psalms 141, and we're just going to read just verse number two. Psalms 141, 2 says, "Let my prayer be set before You as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." Now, I'm being led to read this verse once again, especially for those that's tuning in right now, watching this online. Let's read that once again online. Won't you put it up online for me real quick? I know it's still up on the board here, but "Let my prayer be set before You as incense." And then it starts the sentence again, "the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." Let's mull over that for just a moment. And what I was starting to say here a few minutes ago is that this verse kind of touched me in a very special way. Because I pray, I like to pray, I particularly love to pray when I'm not under stress. You know, there are some folks that are only driven to pray when they are in dire needs or they need something. Those prayers are, they're challenging, you know? And I try to be ahead of the game here and say, Lord, search me and know that my heart is true. Search me and know that I'm sincere. I try to check myself often, frequently and often, because I love to just worship God. Now, of course, we're going to come to the Lord and ask for advice and ask for help. We intercede for others. We pray for others and everything else in between. But the second part of this verse, it says, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. All of these things, right? It almost seems like worship. It almost seems like thanksgiving, like surrender. Lord, here I am. Notice one thing right now in the verse that we just read. David says, he pretty much says that sacrifice is a prayer. If in case you're reading from your Bible, Psalms 141:2, it's still up on the board here. It says, let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. David is calling sacrifice a prayer. It also works the other way around. Prayer is a sacrifice. Huh? How about that? Now, potentially you might be asking why. Why is it called that? Because it is a gift of devotion. It is a gift of praise, the lifting up of hands, and thanksgiving that aids in changing a person's state. For example, self-centeredness, when we humble ourselves before the Lord, all these things is our form of sacrifice. Here, the word of the Lord says, as incense, right? Incense was kept burning perpetually before the Lord in the Old Testament days, in the house of God. There was always incense burning. You read that in the book of Exodus. And offerings were made both in the morning time and also in the evening time for our God every single day. Let me show you this real quick. Exodus 29:39. Let me show you this, what I'm talking about. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. Okay? We're not splitting the lamb in half. We're not chopping it up in quarters. You're going to do one whole one right now this morning. You're going to start out your day this way. And at sundown, you're going to finish off the day this way, all into the Lord. Both were a fit symbol, quite a fitting symbol for prayer. Now, again, why is prayer a sacrifice? First, you and I both know it consumes time. The most precious thing we have. Our most precious possession is our time. The giving of one's mind over to thinking about the qualities of God. I'll share something with you. I had last year There was a period of time that I was seeking the Lord for specific things. And I wanted to do something that would cost me. I wanted to do something that was going to be meaningful. Something that was going to, like, I have to give effort. I got to do this. You know, something that's not so, and mind you, it's, everyone is different, okay? This is just me, how I do things right now. So what I've decided to do is give up some sleep, wake up at 3 a.m, and pray. Oh, that was costly. Oh, that cost me. And this is right around when my child first started teething. So in addition to getting up from her being in pain, teeth coming through, now I'm getting up to speak to the Lord, right? So it requires you giving up, in this particular occasion, precious time. But where I'm going with this is just this year, I started again recently, I started up again doing this every single morning, but not at 3. Not from 3 to 4. Now I'm doing it from 6 to 7. And it's still very tough. But I am praying in tongues the whole hour. The entire hour. I mean, we mean business. When you mean business, let's go. We're doing this. You praying in tongues. And I'm not giving no 15, 20, 30 minutes. Psh! I got up for that. Oh, no. We're going to make it count. We're doing the full 60. Right? Folks, this is a sacrifice. This is sacrificial. Right? Mind you, okay, if you want to do it at 8, if you want to do it at noon, if you want to do it at sunset, when you come home from work and all of that, great, that's fine. I'm talking about my personal sacrifice. I'm sharing a sacrifice with you. And ultimately, it's also giving thanks, giving him praise, giving him honor, giving him the first fruit of my day. All these things. And mind you, how else can we thank him? How else can we thank our Lord? We give ourselves to the activity of praise. Praise for the things that he has done for us. We do that because we have thought about them and because we acknowledge his presence, his activity in our lives. And also in somebody else's life. Prayer now, speaking about somebody else's life. You know, prayer is most effective when we act as a mediator. Interceding on behalf of others is what I mean. That's when it's most effective. It is meaning that we have given up our time to think about this other person or that other person and their needs. I've been speaking about submission for the past, let's just say, about 2 weeks now. A little bit last week and all of today, this morning, last Sunday morning and this Sunday morning. And submission is the act of wanting to know the needs of somebody else, biblically speaking. Okay, I'm not trying to define the term submission here, but in the Bible, when we submit, we are serving someone else. And what I didn't mention this morning, but I am mentioning now, is that your prayer, the prayers that you pray, the time that you spend on your knees, the most effective is when you are praying for somebody else. The Lord hears. That's an act of love, just in itself alone. Consideration. Oftentimes, the Lord places in your heart for you to pray for someone else. Someone could be praying for themselves for quite a while, but then The Lord uses you to pray for them, and then all of a sudden, they get that car, they get that job, they're healed, they get their breakthrough, and everything else. You see where I'm going with this? It's all in the Bible. We give our time to go to God and ask for His intervention so that to help these particular individuals to change, to turn around, to be cured, or whatever the case might be, and God acts on our behalf. Because we sacrificed and begins to change us away from self-centeredness. All these things change from egocentricity, all dealing with self. You're putting yourself aside and you're coming to the Lord in prayer and the Lord hears it. And now all of a sudden, you change. You start to become closer to the image of God. God is training our minds to think about others rather to think about yourself and your needs. I'll even include your wants. The Lord knows your needs. The Lord knows your wants. Now, continuing on. In Psalms chapter 40, the psalmist says that God did not want burnt offerings. And those who were converted under the old covenant understood this fact quite well. Mind you, we're still on the same topic. I'm not getting off topic right now. But let me bring to your attention real quick. You know this verse. Psalms chapter 40, verses 6 through 8, please. The Word of God says, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart." This is a very deep, intimate set of verses right now that we just finished reading. It is so important and so significant that the Apostle Paul quotes this passage, and we read about it in the book of Hebrews. Now, in fact, he quotes our Lord Jesus as saying it before he ever came to earth. Let me bring to your attention the verse right now in Hebrews. May I now have Hebrews chapter 10. And mind you, I'm still going to tie it right now with Psalms 40. Don't forget about Psalms 40, right? Hold on to that. Pastor used to say, put a bookmark right there. Let's go to this side of the Bible, and then we're going to come back to right there, right? This is what we're going to do right now. Hebrews 10, let me have verses 5 through 9, please. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God." Previously saying, "Sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings, and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law." Then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. All right. Now, maybe the wheels are spinning, are not spinning, the wheels are turning. Maybe the gears right now are starting to click. As mentioned, right here, in verses 6 through 8, they identify the psalm as being distinctively messianic. Now here, in Hebrews chapter 10, on its entirety right now that we just finished reading from verses 5 through 9, we learn that these words were the language of the Son of God when He came into the world. He was pretty much saying, in effect, that although God had instituted sacrifice, although God had instituted offering for the nation of Israel, they never represented His ultimate intention. They were designed as types and shadows of something that would be, that was to come, something better to come. As, let's just say, a temporary stopgap, right? They had their place. But God was never really satisfied with them. To Him, they were less than ideal because they did not provide a final solution towards the problem of sin. They never really satisfied, they never gave a full solution to the actual problem. Maybe right now you could be imagining that was just some patchwork. But I really don't want to say maybe patchwork, but ultimately, let's just say something had to give. But it wasn't fully satisfying. Recognizing the inherent weakness of burnt offerings and sin offerings, God instead opened the ear. Opened the ears of His beloved Son. This simply means that the Savior's ears were open to hear and to obey the will of the Father. It was with this attitude of willing and ready to obey, ready obedience, that our Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. It was because of that. Now, in the margin of the ERV, the expression here that we read, "My ears you have opened." You remember that? "My ears you have opened" is rendered, "Ears thou hast digged or pierced for me." Why am I saying that? Some interpreters think this refers to the Hebrew slave that's mentioned in the book of Exodus. If in case you've gone through the book of Exodus, well, let me just show it to you right away. Exodus 21, let me get two verses, 5 and 6, please. Here we go. "But if the servant plainly says, 'I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free,' then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever." Interesting verse right now. If a slave, right? If a slave did not desire to be free in the seventh year of serving his master, his ear was pierced with an awl at the doorpost, and he became the slave of this particular master forever. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, the antitype, became The Word of God, and we read this morning, became a willing bond servant when he came to earth, didn't he? I showed it to you this morning, Philippians 2, chapter 2, verses 7. Let me have that real quick, please. But made himself, our Lord Jesus, of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Right? This was the Lord our God. Now we got the Lord our God. You have God the Father. We have obedience. Here, right? Coming to earth. And what's happening is he came, he served, he died on the cross for us, and will continue to serve his people when he comes again. What exactly do you mean, Pastor? He will continue to serve his people. Let me bring your attention now to Luke chapter 12, verses 37. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Wow. Isn't that pretty cool? Isn't that pretty, oh my gosh, as I commonly say, borderline awesome? To be served by our God? Blessed are those servants, for when the master comes, when he comes, we'll find them watching. Wow. Now, going back now to the clause, my ears you have opened, right? It's quoted on Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5. It is changed to a body you have prepared for me. Remember reading this section? Yes, amen. As to the authority for making such a change, the same Holy Spirit who first inspired the words in Psalms chapter 40, the same Holy Spirit certainly has the right to clarify them when he quotes it in the New Testament now. The literal rendering of the Hebrew expression, quote, to dig an ear, is most likely, is probably a figure of speech in which a part, right? In this particular occasion, it says an ear, right? An ear is given for the whole. What is the whole? And here in the Word of God, the whole is the body, the entire body. This is called, folks, synoptiky. That's exactly right. This is called synoptiky. The New Testament expands and explains the meaning as a reference to the incarnation. Now, one can easily make a ritual out of going to services. One can easily make a ritual out of tithing, right? Or getting rid of some leaven, per se. Fasting on the Day of Atonement. That's pretty serious. Or even going to the Feast of Tabernacles. If our reason for doing so are brief, we do not understand. Or we disagree with the object lesson that the Lord our God intends we learn from doing them. When that lawyer asked the Lord our God in Matthew 22, what is the great commandment of the law? Our Lord Jesus replied this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, right? With all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is like it. And you know what the second one is. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, right? The Lord didn't say, do a sacrifice in the morning, right? Kill a little lamb in the morning, kill a lamb at night. No. What is the Lord implying right now? A relationship. He's searching for communion. He's searching for unity. A relationship that is bonded, that's kept together with love. This is what he said. He was pretty much quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5. Can I have that please, Dion? Deuteronomy 6, 5 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Right there. What our Lord Jesus described is the meaning of the whole burnt offering. Do you know what I mean when I say that? Let's read that verse once again. Won't you put that up for me online, please? Here's the whole burnt offering. What's the whole burnt offering? With all your heart. With all your soul. With all your strength. That's the whole burnt offering. I should have probably titled this evening's service for that. The whole burnt offering. Instead, I call it a suitable sacrifice, but that's okay. This is what our Lord Jesus is describing right now. The whole shebang. Everything. The burnt offering of Leviticus is the offering of an animal, but it pictures the offering of a life lived completely consumed in obedience to living God's way, through God's way. Nothing will prepare us for the kingdom of God to be both kings and priests like following with all of our being. Leviticus chapter 1. And if in case you want to read it, verses 1 through 13. And what that burnt offering means. When you read that, the whole burnt offering. And you know, our Lord Jesus knew what it meant. He did. He lived as a whole burnt offering to the Lord our God. And this is how we should live. We should love the Lord with everything we have, with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and strength that is in there too. This is the whole burnt offering. This is the suitable sacrifice. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. This is what the word of the Lord has for you this morning. Let us give the Lord our 100%. 100%. Amen? Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, we bless your holy name. And Lord, we love you. And Lord, may we just not love you verbally, but also, Lord, give you the best that we have in everything. For Lord, all that we do should be done, Lord, for you, to honor you, to serve you. And Lord, may we live this type of life every single day. Every single day, Lord, may we honor you with all of our actions, with all of our deeds, with all of who we are, Lord, unto you and unto you alone. Thank you so much, Lord, for another day that you have given us. And thank you, Lord, for what you will continue in doing in our lives. Once again, Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God bless you.